Hello and welcome to Tea is Good, Books Are Better, the podcast where we drink tea and talk about books and cough a lot, apparently. I'm Raven.
And I'm Jess.
The majority of the chapters this time. I did not realize that I had five of the six chapters that we read.
There's a lot of Ned. You know, shit's going down. It's like every other chapter.
Honestly. Yeah, it's like when every other chapter is Ned, you know that there's trouble coming. What's new with you, Jess?
Yesterday, I got my tattoo touched up.
Your sternum
sigil one? Yeah, the sigil.
Cool. And
I set up an appointment for another one. Yeah, amazing. And I'm so happy. I feel like I'm in a dream.
Bitch, why didn't you invite me? I've been telling you I want to go get a tattoo. What the fuck?
With me? With my artist?
I haven't seen a lot of their work, so
maybe you can tag along if you want to.
In on May
2nd. It's a Saturday. At 2 p.m.
We'll see.
That was her soonest weekend.
Whoa, what the hell?
Yeah, she's packed.
Do you know what you're getting?
Yeah. The Egyptian goddess Bast in cat form. Inverted images on both sides of my hips.
Oh shit.
Yeah, she was pretty enthusiastic about it, so I was like, yeah, yeah!
Oh, cool.
What makes you want that? Well, when I first got this tattoo and I was looking at myself in the mirror naked,
it's you like, have to say what you mean when you say this one.
I this can't tattoo. See you pointing. When I first got my sigil of Baphomet, and I was looking at myself naked in the mirror, admiring it for the first time, the image of the two cats showed up. When I was looking in the mirror, and I was like, I need that.
What do you mean it showed up?
Like, I was like going, oh, I love this tattoo so much. And then suddenly I was like, this would look better if I had these two down here too.
Like in your mind's eye.
Yeah, in my mind's eye. That's what I meant.
Okay.
It showed up.
What, did it just materialize on your body?
No. I imagined it.
Okay.
And I liked it. And I was like, I'm going to get that next.
Neat. Do you have a picture?
On the computer, I do. In fact, I was going to ask for your opinion.
Oh. You can't show me a picture on your phone?
Well, I can. I'll look up the kitty. Bast.
Is she like a...
It's the cat goddess.
Yeah, but what's her thing?
Oh, goddess of womanhood, fertility, female sexual pleasure.
Okay, Bast.
Okay, it basically just looks like a black cat with, like, gold detailing.
Yeah, gold collar. I like the gold ears, the earring. It has an Egyptian eye.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a profile?
Yeah, embroidered images, so they'll be facing each other.
Yeah.
And so, like, I have an idea of, because I want it to be kind of in motion, so, like, the tail up. And I don't know if I want, like, a paw up or no.
Just the tail up?
Or the tail up and a paw up. So I was going to show you two images on my computer.
Honestly, I'm already liking the pop idea. Because, I don't know, I feel like static images are so boring.
Right? That's what I wanted the tail up
so, at least. Yeah, adding some dynamism. Make it a lot more interesting. Less basic.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I was describing to her, like, just black and, like, the yellow for, like, the eye and stuff. And she was really enthused.
Oh, cool. So you're actually getting color in this one.
Yeah.
Do you have color just on your UFO?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like black tattoos.
Yeah.
Better.
Oh, okay.
That's exciting.
I'm excited.
I want tattoos, but I don't know what to start with.
Maybe something small?
Yeah. I still don't know what it would be.
Oh.
Guess that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Is there any animals yet? Or plants? Some people like to do trees.
Nope.
I'm gonna do what everyone else is doing. I mean, I think trees on people are gorgeous, and I'm not saying that if you have a tree tattoo that it's awful and you're a basic bitch, because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, for me, it's a negative. Negative as in no. Okay. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be a bitch. I did not make any notes for, like, updates this week.
Oh, shit.
Let's see if I have any leftover ones. Nope. Nothing at all. I've just been so busy. I only have, like, one more class left before I'm done school.
For good? Or just this semester?
I'll be done my degree.
Ooh.
I know.
What? How many more classes did you say?
Just one more.
One more class?
Yeah.
Is there, like, a big final?
No.
We just get handed a degree for finish?
I mean, yeah.
Are you gonna have, like, a commencement or whatever?
There is a commencement, but I don't think I'm gonna go. Like, yeah. Why?
Exactly.
Right? I feel like it's so much different in high school, because in high school you're surrounded by people you've known for 5 years and, like, your friends and blah blah blah, but in university, you know, the people that you make friends with, they're all graduating at different times, and
oh, true,
it's not the same. So I'd just be surrounded by a bunch of strangers, like, on a stage, like, fuck that. Like, I already did this, I don't need to do
right,
it again.
Right, do it once, that's enough.
Just mail me the degree. So that's kind of exciting, I guess.
Do you have any plans with that degree?
Try to find a job. Honestly, people ask me that all the time, and I feel like I took this program because I actually wanted to learn. It was less about getting a degree to get a job, but it was more like I actually wanted to improve my practice. You know what I mean? I'll still try to use it to get a job, but that was not, like, the point of me doing this. Like, I actually wanted to get good.
Wow. I think that's a good reason to get a degree.
Thanks.
Because you like it.
Yeah. Thanks! But yeah, I mean, it is kind of scary, just because I've been... I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast already. If we have, then I'm reiterating, but...
Sure.
Deal with it. Wait, what was I saying?
Something about your degree?
Were you even listening? We're both, like, half zoned out. Oh, yeah, I was saying it's scary because I've been a student for, like, basically my whole life.
Yeah.
And I really like being a student. I like learning, and I like going to class. I like having deadlines and, like, being kind of forced to write.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm gonna have to try to find the motivation by myself. Like, fuck.
That's when you have to give yourself a deadline.
I know, but, like, if there's not someone else who's waiting on me, you know, then it's like, I'm not gonna meet it.
You don't care to impress yourself.
Right? Fuck. Maybe I need to find a job that's gonna force me to write. But I won't be writing my own personal projects if I get, like, a job at a whatever.
At a whatever.
I'll be writing someone else's stories, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was thinking about looking for work for, like, an app developer or, like, a video game company. Like, work on stories for apps and video games.
Mm.
I think that would be cool.
Probably would.
Yeah, and then I could kind of, like, work on my own personal projects on the side.
Mm.
That would be the ideal situation.
Damn, son. Putting your feet on my bed.
I'm getting really warm. I'm in a really warm outfit.
What you're wearing.
I'm cold. I'm in, like, here. A fuzzy tracksuit right now.
It's nude. You're like a teddy bear.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
I want it. Take it to work.
Huh?
I want it.
Wear it to work. I wore this to work.
Nice.
I had a customer kind of, like, be snarky with me, though.
Yeah.
She was like, I was bringing her through at the cash desk, and she was like, wow, you look so cozy. And I was like, thanks, I am. And then she was like, see, that's something I would wear, like, at home. Is what she said.
Okay, and I, like, boomer.
Yeah, I looked her in the face and I was like, I woke up not feeling so well this morning, so I decided that I'm just gonna wear something comfy. But inside I was like, fuck you. Got a problem with my outfit, bitch? And you feel so insecure about me wearing this in public? Right. Like, why are you commenting on it?
Why are you trying to enforce these silly rules?
Why are you trying to rain on my parade? I was rocking this outfit all day.
Like, you just need some, like, chains and you look like a rapper.
Some fat golden chains. That would be great. I hung out with Eric the other day.
Oh, yeah. We went for sush. Some sush. Got some sush.
He told me about how he got stuck in an elevator for, like, 2 hours.
Hot damn.
Did he tell you this story?
I don't know. Maybe he said it in passing.
I don't know. Yeah, he was, like, in his building. And it's, like, a brand new building with, like, brand new elevators or whatever the fuck. I could be wrong there. Maybe it's not brand new. That's the impression I got. And then the elevator just, like, got stuck, and then none of the buttons were working, and, like, the emergency button wasn't working.
Oh, shit.
And, his girlfriend was at work, so there was, like, nothing that he could do, and he's, like, stuck there. Pretty funny. He ended up calling the building manager, and then still having to wait multiple hours to get out, but...
Yeah. It's a bit scary.
Yeah. Now he's, like, traumatized off elevators.
Take the stairs now?
No, he still takes the elevator. Stairs.
He's not
please.
That scared.
He's not that traumatized. yeah. Fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that he's, like, interested in DJing, which he's, like, mentioned before, but it feels like he's kind of, like, that's been not on his mind anymore.
Because I remember when he was a kid, he used to do stuff like that.
DJing?
Make tunes on his keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, like, I think he should do that. He should have an outlet, a creative outlet, and...
A freaking hobby!
Or a career. I mean, he should do something that makes him happy.
Sure.
I mean, it might have to start as a hobby, but... Like, he has to learn.
Yeah.
But I think that's cool.
I think so, too.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Shall we get into it?
Yeah.
My stomach's making weird sounds.
Is it struggling with the pork?
Maybe.
Last time you said pork.
Not used to red meat. Anyway. What are we drinking today, Jess?
It's just ginger tea. Because my tummy is upset.
From the pork?
No, from our lunch. I had leftover quesadilla from Hugo's last night, their Mexican restaurant, and it had, like, had lots of queso fresco and crema on it, and that's, like, lots of dairy.
Lots of dairy.
And I ate it. It was so good, but
yeah.
Like, I got sick at the restaurant and only ate half. I had half, my remaining half today, and I'm, like, sick all day.
Why did you get something with so much dairy?
I didn't realize.
Oh my god. Do you have, like, dairy pills?
No.
That's something I should. Or, like, lactose pills?
Nope.
Yeah, you should get some.
Mm-hmm.
They really work, apparently. I wouldn't know, because I'm not lactose. This is, like, cold.
It is. Heated it up for a minute in the microwave, because we've been waiting for so long. And now it's lukewarm.
Yum. Flashback to that time where I'm like, I want it so hot that I want the inside of my mouth, like, melting.
What? Okay.
Where did we leave off our characters, Jess?
So Bronn kills Sir Varnus Egan.
Here goes our cousin freeing Tyrion from Catelyn's grasp. Jon begs Maester Aemon. Did I say that right?
Sure.
Maester Aemon to grab. My English isn't so good today. John begs Maester Aemon Fuckoff to graduate Samwell as the steward. Tyrion strikes a deal with the clansmen to safely escort him from the Vale in return for quality weapons and the Vale itself.
Dun dun dun! Dun.
Alright.
Chapter 43.
Ned
Eddard. Eddard.
Eddard.
Okay. Y'all ready for this? It's an Eddard chapter. So you know this shit gonna be boring. Just kidding. I just mean it's gonna be really serious.
It's a tedious chapter.
Okay, here we go. Alright, Ned is sitting on the Iron Throne, which is, quote, an ironwork monstrosity of spikes and jagged edges and grotesquely twisted metal, end quote. And it's super uncomfortable to sit on. Robert, Lord Renly, and Sir Barristan have gone hunting. A white hart has been spotted in the King's Wood. And I learned that a hart is a male deer. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Varys, Grandmaester Pycelle, and Littlefinger sit at the council table below the throne. Oh yeah, there's also a weird sentence that I, like, picked out.
Oh yeah?
It was, quote, so Ned must needs sit the Iron Throne in his absence, end quote.
Ned must needs?
Sit the Iron Throne in Robert's absence? I'm assuming it means, but, like, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Ned must needs sit the Iron Throne. Anyway, could be grammatically accurate. I don't know. But even if it is, it's just too wordy.
It is.
Like, remove unnecessary words, my dude. So there are all sorts of other people in the throne room as well. Petitioners, knights, high lords and ladies, small folk, mailed guards, and villagers. The villagers are all tattered and bloody. They had been brought in by three knights to bear witness. Varys asks whether it is certain that these were more than brigands, and Sir Raymond Derry, one of the knights who had brought in the villagers, says that they were Lannister brigands. Ned isn't surprised. Tensions have been rising since Catelyn seized Tyrion Lannister. Both Riverrun and Casterly Rock had called their banners, and armies were amassing. It's only a matter of time before blood begins to flow, Ned thinks. Sir Carol Vance tells Ned that these villagers here are all that remains of the holdfast of Shurer.
You know, did you dig through the map trying to find where the hell this happened?
No.
I did.
Oh, okay. Did you find it?
It's too small, but I think I have an idea of where it is. It must have happened around here. Okay. Because they had to cross here to go back to Casterly Rock.
Oh.
So I think the old village is
here. Okay. Yeah. I figured it would be too small to have a place on the map. So yes, these villagers are all that remains of the holdfast of Shurer, and there are two other towns that were slaughtered as well. One of the villagers starts to tell Ned what happened, but he begins by calling Ned his grace. Ned is shocked that a man can live his whole life so close to the Red Keep and still have no idea what his king looks like. So Ned has to inform this man that he's the Hand, not the king.
Do you just think, because he's a peasant, he just doesn't know?
Yeah, like, when would he see the king?
Yeah, or, like, even if he did know that was the Hand, he just wouldn't know how to...
Properly.
Like, his proper title.
Right.
Like, he's sitting on the throne, it wouldn't, yeah, be like, okay, I guess he's kingly enough?
That could be true. I forgot that I have so much more in my map than you do.
So oh, I'm shit! Shurer?
It's actually supposed to be really close to King's Landing, so I don't know if it's quite where you thought it was.
Okay.
I am not seeing a Shurer.
Okay.
The villager tells Ned that he had kept an alehouse, and they came and drank their fill and lit the place on fire. Something interesting I wanted to know is how the villager talks.
Yeah?
Yeah. He said,
They come and drink their, or they come and drank their fill and spilled the rest before they fired my roof, and they would have spilled my blood too if they'd caught me. So, firstly, I feel like we get a sense of his intelligence level based on the way he speaks. They come and drank their fill instead of they came and drank.
Maybe he just doesn't they know come and drank grammar. Their
fill. Well, yeah.
Because he doesn't read.
Yeah, of course.
He doesn't have proper educators.
Yeah. I would 100% say that's the reason. But yeah, that's one way to characterize someone without outright saying, the villagers were not as educated as those in the castle.
Yeah.
You know, is to have them actually, like, talk differently. So more showing rather than telling.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, nicely done. And secondly, the villager says would of spilled my blood instead of would have, which would be the proper grammar. It's a really common mistake that I see all the time, people actually making, like, on social media, like, in real life. People saying would of or should of when they should be saying... What do you think
I've seen?
Huh?
I've seen that verse. I saw that.
It's just as accurate.
Is it? It used to really get my nerves.
Really?
I was like, that doesn't sound right, 'cause I've never heard anyone go, like, I've seen that guy over there. And I was like...
I seen is not right. I seen?
Yeah.
No, I've seen would be.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen. So, okay. Here's the difference there, if you really want me to break it down.
Thanks.
Okay. I saw is past tense. So it's like, back then, I saw him do blah, blah, blah.
Is it seen?
I have seen is the past perfect, which is like the past past. So it's like if you're telling a story that takes place in the past, and then it's a part of the story that is like even farther back than the story that you're telling. Yeah? That's when you would use the past perfect.
Oh God, okay.
Yeah, that's when you're using stuff like have and had. Like, oh, I had seen that. I have seen that.
Okay.
I mean, using I have seen and I had seen is different though.
Hmm.
I'd have to think more about it. But yeah. People are always saying would of or should of when they should be saying would have or should have. And it, like, frustrates me to the core every time I see it. And I had Dad actually try to argue with me once that it's should of.
Really?
And not should have. And I was like, you realize I'm in school for this, right? And yeah, I would bet my right arm that this misunderstanding comes from constantly hearing the contractions of would have and should have, which are would've and should've. So that's what makes people think that it's would've. But no, it's actually would've with a apostrophe V-E. Not two different words.
That's shortened would have. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. What's interesting to me here is that George R.R. Martin is using this improper grammar on purpose to, again, display the villagers' like lack of education.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it used this way on purpose before, which is what makes it so interesting. Not sure if this is interesting for anyone but me, but I found it interesting. Anyway, moving on. The different villagers go on to explain the terrible things these raiders had done. See, that's the past perfect I just used there. These raiders had done. Instead of the raiders did. The raiders had done is like past past.
Yeah.
The terrible things these raiders had done, such as burning people alive, hunting people, and so on. Ned asks how they're so sure these were Lannisters. Sir Carol says that every man among the raiders was mounted and mailed, armed with steel-tipped lances and longswords, with battle axes for the butchering.
Oof.
One of the villagers explains that they rode war horses. He used to work in the stables, and he knows a rich man's horse when he sees one.
I think war horses are different from even rich man's horses, because they're, like, big and, like, meant for crushing people. Okay. Something, like, go right in.
Yeah, they're bred for that sort of
activity. I always thought that they're, like, bigger horses.
Yeah, could be. I don't fucking know.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure, like, he was saying that it wasn't rich people's horses. Like, war horses are.
You think he was saying it was not rich people's horses?
Well, you know how he said that he knows that the difference between a rich person's horse and... I thought I read that he knows the difference between a war horse and a regular horse.
No. That's not what I got from that at all.
Okay. Then again, I was high when I read it.
You were high? What? Jesus. Okay, he says, concerning their horses, it were war horses they rode. Many a year I worked in old Sir Willem's stables, so I knows the difference. Not a one of these ever pulled a plow. God's bear witness if I'm wrong. Hmm. So, those that are pulling a plow, I would assume, are more like farmers.
Yeah, like the horses, Clydesdales. Like, I think, like, Clydesdales horses do that kind of tough work.
It's not just Clydesdales.
Oh. Oh, it's not just Clydesdales.
No, I mean, a farmer will take any horse he can get, I'm assuming.
I guess.
You know? But basically saying it's not horses that belong to those who are, you know, working class.
There's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So he's saying that they are more rich people horses. Ned wants more details about their armor, whether they flew banners, but none of those things gave any indication as to who these raiders were. But the same villager who owned the alehouse then tells Ned that the one who led the raiders was a giant, with a voice like stone breaking. Damn, that's an amazing simile.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Mark immediately says it must be the mountain, Gregor Clegane. This would be a big deal if it's true, as Gregor. Hello? As Gregor Clegane is bannerman to Lord Tywin Lannister. Grandmaster Pycelle says that's not enough to know it was Gregor Clegane. I'm struggling with his name right now. Grandmaster Pycelle says that's not enough to know it was Gregor Clegane. The other knights immediately begin arguing, saying no man leaves the same marks on a body that Gregor does. Pycelle doesn't see any reason Sir Gregor should turn brigand. He has a keep and his own lands, and he's an appointed knight. Sir Mark argues that he's a false knight, Lord Tywin's mad dog. What would make him a false knight?
Breaking his knightly vows of protecting the realm and all that jazz. I'm not quite sure what they are.
Oh, I see. Honor, I'm assuming, is a big one.
So I think, like, terrorizing villagers would be making him a false knight.
Yes. Pycelle declares to Ned that this knight may need reminding that Lord Tywin is father of the queen. He's talking about Sir Mark. Ned notices people slipping out the door at the far end of the hall and thinks that they are possibly spies for the queen. He also notices Sansa with Septa Mordane and thinks that she should not be here. Peter Baelish, Littlefinger, asks the knights where they were when all this murdering was happening. Sir Carol Vance was attending his father with Sir Mark. Sir Raymond was summoned by Sir Edmure Tully, Catelyn's brother, to Riverrun, so that's where he was when this shit went down. Sir Carol explains that Sir Edmure has sent men to every village in Holdfast within a day's ride of the border. Does he mean Riverrun's border?
Yeah.
Okay. Ned thinks that this may be precisely what Lord Tywin wants, to weaken Riverrun by scattering their swords. So, the knights want permission to pay back Gregor Clegane for his crimes. But Ned thinks that Tywin was smart about this. He'd made sure Gregor rode under cover of night, without banners, in the guise of a common brigand. So if he's accused, the Lannisters would insist it wasn't them. Grandmaester Pycelle thinks this matter should go to Lord Tywin himself for justice, but Ned says it's all the king's justice. Ned asks Sir Robar Royce, whose father is currently hunting with the king, to go tell them about what's happened. Sir Mark then asks if they have his permission to take their vengeance against Sir Gregor. Ned says they were speaking of justice, not vengeance. Burning Clegane's fields and slaughtering his people will not restore peace. So Gregor will be put to death instead. Damn, Ned. Okay. Loras Tyrell, the Knight of Flowers, steps forward and offers his sword in Ned's place. Littlefinger laughs at him. He doesn't think Loras could take on the mountain. I'm likened to agree. Ned calls out Lord Beric, Thoros of Myr, Sir Gladden, and Lord Lothar. He tells them each to assemble 20 men to bring his word to Gregor's keep, and 20 of Ned's own men will go with them. Ned declares to the court that in the name of the king, he denounces Gregor Clegane and strips him of all rank and titles, of all lands and incomes and holdings, and sentences him to death. Damn. Mm-hmm. Was there even enough evidence to suggest that?
Oh, no. He's the only giant anyone knows of, I guess. Ned.
Okay, so 20 men for 4 people, plus 20 of Ned's own men. They're sending 100 men to go kill Gregor Clegane.
I don't think that's enough.
You don't think that's enough?
No. That's the mountain, yo. He's formidable.
100 men, though? All mounted? Damn. Loras Tyrell asks, what of me?
Fuck off, Loras.
Ned tells him that no one doubts his valor, but they are about justice, and Loras seeks vengeance. Ned tells Lord Beric to ride at first light, then dismisses the court. At the base of the throne, Varys says he would have sent Sir Loras. A man who has the Lannisters for enemies would do well to make the Tyrells his friends. Ned says Loras will get over it. Then Varys says he could have chosen Sir Illyn, the executioner. He is the king's justice, technically, and he might be insulted that Ned chose someone else to do his job. In truth, Ned doesn't trust Illyn Payne, but he doesn't say this out loud. He says that the Paynes are bannermen to House Lannister, and he thought it best to choose men who owe Lord Tywin no fealty. That sounds smart. Varys says that Illyn didn't look pleased, and he hopes he gets over it as well. So, did Ned just make 2 enemies? Illyn Payne and Loras Tyrell?
I guess so.
God damn. Anyway, yeah, that's the end of that chapter. So, they're sending people to kill the mountain. Yeah. 100 people to kill the mountain. We'll see how that goes down.
I wonder. I'm trying to remember from the show.
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
Chapter Sansa.
This is chapter 44.
Sansa.
Jessica's one chapter.
Sansa's eating her supper with Jane Poole. Do you recognize the name Poole?
Yes. One of Ned's, like, stewards.
Okay. Because I didn't feel like going back.
Yeah, it's like... It starts with a V. Fuck, I need to know what it is. Vaon Poole is one of Ned's stewards.
So Sansa is confused and upset that her lord father refused Sir Loras. He is clearly the hero meant to slay the monster. Just look at how beautiful and young he is.
So being beautiful and young is what makes you a hero?
Apparently.
I just want to bitch slap her across the face.
Right. She's 11.
No excuses.
She briefly recalls complaining to Septa Mordain about it, and Lord Baelish had overheard her. He had advised her that life is not a song. Which went in one ear and out the other. Apparently.
Of course it did. Because she's useless.
Jane disagrees with her. She thinks Sir Illyn Payne should have been sent instead as the king's justice. Sansa is seriously creeped out by Sir Illyn Payne and thinks of him as a monster as well.
Gee, she's so judgy.
Right. Sansa tells Jane a fantasy of hers that's described as a dream. Joffrey shoots down a white heart and presents it to her as a gift, because in her heart, she just knows her gallant prince is worthier than his drunken father.
Alright, Sansa.
I'm kind of excited to get to the parts where she sees Joffrey for the first time, truly who he is.
Yeah. Watch her whole world turn upside down.
Yeah.
Just because you're pretty don't mean you're nice.
Yeah. She tells Jane about the court, who then quickly grows bored and asks for lemon cakes. They raid the kitchen and find half a strawberry pie. When Sansa goes to bed that night, she feels just as naughty as Arya. The next morning, she gets up early to watch Lord Beric assemble his men from her window. When she goes down for breakfast, she is surprised to see Arya there. Arya asks where everyone is and if Father had sent them to hunt down Jaime Lannister. Sansa tells her that they have ridden to behead Sir Gregor Clegane. Arya is upset that Sir Gregor is getting beheaded when Jaime and the Hound need to be punished as well.
Isn't there a point where Sansa's talking about how, like, beautiful and cute or whatever that Loras is. And then Jane thinks that Beric is attractive.
Well, yeah, I did skip over that.
So Jane thinks Beric is attractive.
Lord Beric.
And he's the one who's leading the charge against Sir Gregor.
Yeah.
But then Sansa's like, ugh, but he's so old.
He's 22.
And he's 22.
Well, I guess at 11, 22-year-olds were old adults.
No. I was checking out 22-year-olds when I was 11.
Really?
Yeah. Like, celebrities.
I guess.
Yeah. I had a massive crush on Orlando Bloom.
I'm trying to remember how old I was when the first movie came out. I think I was 11.
So I was even younger then.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. How old was Orlando Bloom, though?
Maybe he was that age.
Apparently he made butt fuck all for that movie.
Oh, shit.
24.
Okay.
He was 24. Yeah, so I was like 9. I was checking out this 24-year-old and I was like, shit.
I ain't true that.
Yeah, so Sansa's just gross.
Sansa's just
Go on.
Okay. Sansa says it's not the same since the Hound is Joffrey's sworn shield and the butcher's boy attacked him. What the hell? She was there.
Hello?
Like,
oh my god. Come on,
I hate when people do that. Just change the narrative. It makes me sick, Sansa.
That's you make really me sick.
Arya throws an orange at her and it stains her ivory dress. Sansa shrieks and screams that Arya should have been killed instead of Lady.
Wow.
Septa Mordain jumps to her feet and orders them both to their bedchambers. And Sansa's upset that she is also being punished. It's not fair.
I want to punch her.
You just said something totally horrible to your sister.
Yeah.
Once in her room, she tears off her dress and throws it in the hearth. And then she throws herself on her bed and falls asleep sobbing. She dreams of Lady, and when she awakens, she briefly forgot that Lady is dead. Septa Mordain comes to escort her to her father and brings Arya as well and leaves them with him. Sansa immediately starts saying that Arya started it, she's just jealous that she's going to be queen and whatnot. And her silences
Arya
her.
Arya literally couldn't give less of a shit.
Right. Arya then apologizes and begs for Sansa's forgiveness.
I love Arya so much. Right.
But that's
Father,
not...
I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean it. Sansa, please forgive me.
But that's not what Eddard wants to talk about. He's sending them back to Winterfell, and it's no longer safe for them at King's Landing. Especially since King Robert won't do anything to stand up for them.
Against what?
Cersei and the other Lannisters. And Arya's... Not Arya's. Sansa's betrothal to Joffrey is over, says Ned.
Damn.
Both of the girls are upset. Arya wants Cyril Farrell, and Sansa can't bear to be away from the splendor of the King's Landing and away from her beloved prince. She loves him so much, she wants to have his babies with golden hair, as brave as the wolf and as proud as the lion. Arya points out that Joffrey is a stag, like his father. And Sansa insists that Joff is nothing like his father.
Ooh.
Ooh. Their father gets to look on his face and says to himself, out of the mouths of babes. Eddard calls for Septa Mordain and tells the girls they will sail home as soon as he's found a proper ship. And Cyril Farrell can come if he agrees. Sansa starts sobbing as she heads to her bedchambers. And Arya tries to comfort her by pointing out that they will see Bran and Robb again, but Sansa doesn't care and bars herself in her room.
So Sansa cares more about being with Joffrey and being queen than she does about seeing her family.
It's like all of her childhood fantasies are being crushed.
Gross.
Like, I can see tween girls being dramatic like this.
Yeah, true. Like, she thinks that's what she wants, but it definitely isn't.
No.
And also, seems like Ned's figured something out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he means by out of the mouths of babes. Is he just shocked that, like, he got this information from Sansa, specifically?
Yeah, like, the child doesn't really know what's going on, but she said something that just made all the pieces come together, and he's like, what?
Okay.
It's like what Dumbledore says sometime. Like, I don't remember the exact quote, but something about how children have a different way of looking at things. Was it Dumbledore said that? I don't even remember.
I have no idea.
But someone says that, like, the fresh, innocent eyes of a child looking at something will see something that grown adults would completely look past.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking.
Makes sense.
Ready for another Ned?
Ned already? I feel like... with George, he doesn't really know what to do with Sansa at this point.
With George? Oh, George.
George R.R. Martin.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't really, like, when he was writing this, he didn't really know what to do with Sansa, but he was like, knew that she was going to be important later, so he's like, mm-hmm. I gotta squeeze in a chapter, like, here and there.
Might as well use her to help Ned figure things out.
Well, because this could easily have mm-hmm. been a Ned chapter.
Could have. All it is just drama.
Yeah.
And it's like childish things.
Yeah.
I guess you're getting a little bit of insight. Maybe it's he wanted the character growth.
Yeah, that's fair. Sansa won't be a little bird forever. Or will she? My stomach is freaking out.
Damn, do you need a Tums? Is it hurt or are you just...
It doesn't hurt. It's just like...
It's just struggling to digest that meat.
Yeah, like there's bubbles. It's bubbling. I'm gonna be farting later. I feel like I want lemon cakes really bad. Every time I read about those lemon cakes, I'm like, I need dessert.
Lemon cakes sound terrible to me.
They sound terrible.
All cakes sound terrible. I'm like, ah!
Well, more for me.
Okay.
Okay. Chapter 45, Another Eddard.
Ned.
I mean, I'm pumped. Aren't you? Yeah.
Well, he knows something now, so it might move things forward.
Oh, things will move forward. There's no doubt about that. It's just...
the speed at which...
It's just that it's all talking.
Yeah.
God.
It's his stupid honor.
Stupid honor. We'll get more into that later. Okay, chapter 45, Eddard. Maester Pycelle is tending to Ned's leg, which is still hurting, when Pycelle tells Ned that there was a raven this morning. Lord Tywin is choked about the men Ned sent after Sir Gregor Clegane. Ned says to let him be choked. Every time his leg throbs, he remembers Jaime Lannister's smile and Jory dead in his arms. Ned says that Lord Beric, the man leading the charge against Sir Gregor, rides beneath the king's own banner, and if Lord Tywin attempts to interfere with the king's justice, he will have Robert to answer to. Pycelle takes his leave, and Ned has little doubt that he will be going straight to the queen to tell her what Ned said. Ned just knows that she's the one who instructed Pycelle to deliver her father's threats. When Ned is alone, he asks himself what John Arryn might have done, had he lived long enough to act on what he'd learned. But then Ned considers perhaps he had acted, and that's why he's dead now. It's a good thought, Ned.
Yeah.
Ned realized the truth when Sansa declared that Joffrey wasn't the least bit like his father. Ned thinks it's queer how sometimes a child's innocent eyes can see things that grown men are blind to. Ned also thinks it's this truth that killed John Arryn, and that it will kill Robert too. A slower death, but just as certain. Littlefinger shows up about an hour later. It seems like Ned summoned him, because he seems to be waiting for him, but we don't see him summon him. Anyway... not important. Ned asks when Robert will return from his hunt. Littlefinger replies that he'll likely return when they've killed something. Last he heard, they were chasing down some monstrous boar deep in the forest. Because apparently the White Hart was, like, killed by someone else. Or disappeared or something. They gave up on the White Hart. Now it's a monstrous boar. Also, Prince Joffrey returned this morning, with the Royces, Sir Balin Swan, the Hound, and some 20 others from the hunting party. The rest are still with the king. Ned is concerned about the Hound. Littlefinger says that when he returned and learned that Lord Beric was off to behead his brother, he went straight to the queen. But we don't really know what transpired. between him and the queen.
He's probably mad that he wasn't sent.
On his way out, Littlefinger spots the big book Ned's been reading about the great houses, with descriptions of noble lords and ladies and their children. He asks about it, and Ned considers telling him everything, but then only says that John Arryn was studying it when he became sick. Ned feels like he can't trust anyone anymore. Then Ned thinks about Rhaegar's children, lying dead on the floor beneath the Iron Throne, and thinks that he must save the children. He knows deep in his heart that, once Robert knows the truth, he will kill them all, but Robert must know all the same. Later on, Ned summons Fat Tom, also known as Tomard. With Jory dead and Aelin gone to get the mountain, Fat Tom was left in command of the household guard. For a moment, Ned regrets sending away half his guard. Ned gets Fat Tom to help him down to the Godswood, then gives him a letter to deliver. Ned waits for a long while, and at sunset, Cersei Lannister shows up. Ned immediately tells her he knows the truth Jon Arryn died for, and calls Cersei out on it. Straight up. He's like... He says Jaime is her lover. Cersei doesn't deny it. She says that the Targaryens wed brother to sister for 300 years to keep the bloodlines pure, and she and Jaime shared the womb together. They are meant to be together. She says when he is in her, she feels whole. Ew.
She also mentioned that she believes that they're like one soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just so wrong. Ned brings up Bran, and Cersei says that he saw them, and she asks Ned if he loves his children, suggesting she and Jaime tried to murderize Bran out of love for their own children.
Murderize?
Because all three of Cersei's children are Jaime's! They're not Robert's! Mm-hmm. Oh my god! This is a big deal, y'all.
Yep.
This is a big-ass deal. Ned thinks about all the research he's done, how the black hair of Baratheon always dominates the gold hair of Lannisters, evidenced by previous marriages. And that's what John Arryn had meant when he said, "The seed is strong." Ned wonders how Cersei has no children by the king after so long, and Cersei defiantly explains that he got her with child once, but she had herself cleansed. So, she had an abortion? This is way different from what happened in the show.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
In this show, like, she talks about having loved him once. Uh-huh. And, like, that whole thing with that one child.
Yeah.
But hot damn. In the novels. She hated him!
Oh my god. Yeah, so, in the show, she seemed, yeah, to have had love for Robert at one point in her life. Which makes her as a character, I think... honestly, a little bit more...
human?
Like, human, complicated, relatable. Understandable. Yeah, easier to connect with.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, she's, like, hated him from the beginning. Never wanted him to touch her. Just, like, always wanted just Jaime.
Didn't want to carry his children.
Mm-hmm.
Bring up the part where he asks, why she's never... loved him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My foot.
Okay, I'll get there. So, yeah, she had an abortion, and Robert never even knew that he had gotten her pregnant with that child. Now she scarcely lets him touch her.
Excuse. Is it scarcely or scarcely?
Either way.
You'll give a fuck.
Ned wonders why she hates him so much, and she tells him how Robert whispered Lyanna's name the first night that they were together. So, that's the reason... she's hated him for so long.
A woman scorned.
Jesus Christ. Ned finally tells her that he has to tell Robert. Cersei tries to convince him that no one wants war, Joff isn't going to come of age for years, and enemies can become friends. She tells Ned that if he's kind to her, he won't regret it. Ned then asks if she made the same offer to Jon Arryn, and Cersei slaps him. Well, did you, Cersei?
Did you?
Cersei brings up that Ned is hardly as honorable as he acts like he is. He has a bastard of his own, which means that he raped some whore and, like, stole her child. Whatever it is that Cersei's thinking. But Ned reiterates that he's going to tell Robert when he returns from his hunt, so Cersei and her children must be gone by then, out of Westeros. And her brother and father should go with her, because Robert's wrath will follow them everywhere. Cersei asks Ned, what of her wrath? and she tells Ned he should have taken the Iron Throne for himself that day when he found Jaime on it. Because when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There's no middle ground. And then she leaves. Da, 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 da. Drama. Drama getting up in here. Fucking Ned. Seriously. He's just gonna straight up call her out on it.
Like, I get he's sticking with the kids and he doesn't want to see the same thing happen.
Mm-hmm. But damn. Come on, though. Do you even know who Cersei is?
Guess not.
Yeah, this fucking honor. Just let the kids die. They're all inbreds. Bastards and inbreds. Anyway, that's it. Thoughts? Just disappointment.
Yeah. You know, things are going downhill.
Oh, Ned.
When he goes to Cersei.
Did he really think that she was gonna listen?
Yeah. He hoped so.
He's such a dingus! It's so frustrating.
His honor gets him.
What?
His honor gets him.
You can't say that. Okay. Well, we'll see how the book. Maybe it'll be different from the show. In some ways.
Sure.
Maybe he'll. You never know. Oh, God. Okay. That's it.
That's that.
That's that. Lots of Ned chapters. And it's not slowing down anytime soon, people.
Every other chapter is Ned.
Yep. So I hope you're liking these Ned chapters.
I think if that's summarizing it, not so bad.
Yeah.
Or are you summarizing it?
It's just so much talking.
And it's, like, infuriating.
It is infuriating. But that's because we know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it would be this, like, hard to read if we didn't know what happens.
Yeah. I wonder.
Hmm. Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram if you, if this is your first time.
Or Facebook.
The first time you read the book. Yeah, or hit us up on Facebook. If the first time... I want to know whether you felt, like, this sense of frustration with Ned. Or if you felt he was doing the right thing. And it seemed smart to you. Yeah. Let us know how you felt the first time you read it. If you want more of the podcast, please follow us on Instagram. The podcast is TigBab Podcast, TIGBAB. You can also follow us individually. Mine is Crimby and Jess's is Jess.Egan24. You can also find us on Facebook. If you search TigBab Podcast again, or just search Tea is Good, Books Are Better, you can find the page there. Please also check out our friend Baram Barami on YouTube. He made our jingle that you heard at the beginning of this episode, and he's super dope and deserves all the love in the world, so let's give him some. We also have a Patreon, so if you want to give us some extra support, you can check us out on there, patreon.com/teaisgoodbooksarebetter. We do have some cool tiers with different rewards, so you will get something in return for your contribution, but we do just appreciate you listening as well. And please don't forget to share our podcast with all your friends and your family and everyone you know in your life ever, so that we can keep growing. And
tell everyone!
Tell everyone you know. Leave us some good reviews on Apple Podcasts and... everything else. Good reviews only. 5 stars only. thank you. Okay, that's it. We'll see you in the next one, y'all. We're more Ned chapters. Yes.
It's actually a chapter.
Oh, yeah, because it's every other one.
Yeah. Right, right.
We'll get a Danny chapter in the next one and a John chapter, too, so.
There you go.
Yes, the three powerhouses.
Nice fist.
Thank you. I'm holding a fist up towards the microphone. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Jess?
Adios.